It's Friday, October 31st, 2008, and welcome to episode 61 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom. Happy Halloween, everyone. This week, a couple of experiences have reminded me of the importance of backing up your computer files. I received a call earlier this week from a staff member that accidentally deleted a folder on their computer and all the files in the folder. Of course, I asked if they had a backup, and you can guess what the answer was. Once you delete a file and empty the recycle bin, then it is extremely difficult to undelete the files. It may be impossible without the help of an FBI computer forensic team or a dedicated expensive program that may be able to undelete something, that is, if another file has not already been saved over the files you are trying to recover. If the data has been overwritten, there may be no hope of recovering the files. There is always a chance that the deleted files may be recovered because when you delete a file, the computer basically deletes the indexing information that is used to point to the location of the file storage area on the hard disk. If an undelete program can recover this indexing information, then there is a chance, although remote, that the file may be recovered. Why take a chance of worrying about recovering files from accidental file deletion or a computer crash? Take a lesson from the Boy Scouts and be prepared. It literally only takes seconds to make a backup copy of your important data files, and I hope that making backups is already a part of your routine computing practice. If it is not, then let me recommend that you turn off this podcast and go make a backup copy of your files right now. Go ahead, pause the podcast. I will wait. Okay, that wasn't so bad, was it? Now you can sleep better knowing that you have made a recent backup of your important files, especially since we are 3/4 of the way into the semester. Be sure to back up your gradebook files, email archives, and all other essential data regularly. If you have an online system and network drives, your IT department may already be doing this, but you are responsible for locally stored files in most schools. If you do not know how to make a backup copy, then find someone that can teach you. It really is easy once you know how, and there are no excuses for not making regular backups. Consult with your IT staff regarding policies and procedures for protecting and securing school data. Another reason that the backup topic is on my agenda this week is to protect yourself from the threat of disasters. I have had a couple of friends experience household fires that lost nearly all household possessions, including their computers. A true backup system consists of 5 parts. First is the backup copy of your files. Second is that the backup is stored in a different location other than the location of your computer in your home or office. Third is the need for a routine for your backups on a regular basis. You are only as good as your last backup in the event of a disaster. Fourth is the ability to have access to a copy of the programs used to create your data. For example, if you use Microsoft Word as your default word processor, then you will need to have access to Microsoft Word once your files have been restored on a different computer. Finally, you need to periodically test your backup plan to see if it would really work in the case of a real disaster. If there is a flaw in the plan, you do not want to wait until a disaster occurs to discover that you cannot recover and access your files. Most information technology departments have a disaster recovery plan that includes off-site storage, and most schools also have disaster recovery plans, including an action plan for recovering from a disaster. You should also have a personal plan for your home, including off-site storage of important files, especially digital pictures of your family that are irreplaceable. I personally have burned CD and DVD copies of pictures and placed them in my safety deposit box. One problem with my plan is that over time, there is often the need to move the data to a more current technology. I often joke that there is a conspiracy out there by corporations for what I call planned obsolescence. If you are as old as I am, you have undoubtedly experienced this phenomena. For example, it is getting harder and harder to find a VCR to play back old VHS tapes I have, so I need to transfer the VHS content to a DVD to be assured that I can always access this content. Or, you may have purchased your favorite music album several times in the form of 8-track tapes, yes, I am that old, cassette tapes, CDs, and now digital MP3 files. Another option for storing photographs is to use online photo services like Flickr or Windows Live Gallery. Online photo sharing sites can give you peace of mind if you do not mind having your photos online that others may see. Another option would be to use an online storage solution like Microsoft SkyDrive or another online storage provider. Our university is in the process of implementing a business class solution for online storage called Zythos that I am currently using in a pilot test and looking forward to using it in full production mode to address the needs our college has for online storage and backups. This solution will be backed up by the ITS department, so it also serves the need for having the file stored in two different locations to protect against disasters. Schools, just like businesses, need disaster recovery plans and policies to protect information, much of which is confidential. With internet technologies, the capability of sharing information is very easy, so there should also be policies and procedures in place to protect this information, including backup and recovery plans. The final reason for selecting the backup topic this week is that I migrated my data to a different computer this week, and this gave me the opportunity to see if my practices really worked, and I'm happy to report that they did. I have a very structured folder system for storing files locally on my computer that makes it very easy for me to make backups and also allows for me to easily restore the data if needed. Let me tell you what has worked for me over the years, and then you can adapt my system for your own use or develop one that will work for you. This system works for me and keeps my data file separate from the applications used to create the data. Every school year, I create a new folder called AY0809 that stands for Academic Year 2008-2009. Everything that I do for the particular academic year goes into this folder. You will find that whether you work in a business or in a school, that there are many things that you repeat from year to year. For example, I am on several committees, and I make a subfolder under the AY0809 folder for each of the committees that I serve on. I also have a subfolder for each section of each course that I teach for each academic year. This serves two purposes for me. First, it makes it extremely easy for me to make backup copies because all I have to do is copy the AY0809 folder and all subfolders to another storage device, whether it be a CD, DVD, flash drive, network drive, or external drive. Secondly, it allows for me to easily archive information from past years. If I need to go retrieve a report to see an example from a previous year, all I have to do is go to the appropriate academic year and subfolder to retrieve the file that I need. Being organized in this way has been extremely helpful to me over the years, and I encourage you to develop your own system of managing and backing up your data that works for you. So when I got the new Vista PC installed this week, all I had to do was install the computer applications I use, like Microsoft Office 2007, and copy the files from my backup copy to the new computer's hard drive, and I was back in business. Your recovery plan is only as good as your most recent backup, so be sure to make backups regularly. The hardest part of moving to the new PC was setting up the email client, but even this was straightforward. I use Outlook Exchange, so all I needed to copy was my archived email from the old machine to the new machine, and then walk through a wizard to set up my new email account info on the new computer. I moved from Office 2003 to Office 2007, but the migration was painless because all I needed to do was copy my archive.pst file to the new computer and point my email account to it as my new archive file. That was it. The only difficulty will be to customize my browser settings and other programs the way I like them, but most importantly, I am back to work without skipping a beat. I have two technology picks of the week this week. The first is a hardware pick related to the backup topic just discussed. I recently purchased a Western Digital Passport 250GB external USB hard drive for a backup storage solution. This drive is well under $100 if you shop around and is compact in size and perfect for storing backup files. It also serves very well as a storage device for large multimedia, audio and video files that can consume large amounts of space on your local computer. A link is provided in the show notes to the WD Passport external hard drive. One caution with compact storage devices like the Passport drive and other even smaller USB flash drives is that you need to protect your data from theft of these devices by keeping them in a secure, locked location. They are very small and easily stolen. Some businesses and schools may require a password and/or encryption on these devices to protect the data. Because they are small and portable, they do pose a security risk, so be sure to take proper precautions in protecting any data that may be stored on such devices. My second technology pick of the week this week is a Web 2.0 service that I have used for a few years now and was one of the first applications that I missed and installed when I switched computers earlier this week. Skype is a free audio and video conferencing solution that allows you to make free voice and video calls to other Skype users. I downloaded the Skype client to the new Vista machine and plugged in my Logitech video webcam to the USB port, and I was back in business using Skype. A link is provided in the show notes to the Skype service. Skype allows you to easily communicate with other Skype users from all around the world, and all you need is a computer with a webcam, internet access, and a free Skype account. You do not even need a webcam if you only want to communicate with other users via voice. Many of our international students use this service to communicate with their family back home, and it completely avoids long-distance charges. Skype also offers additional for-fee services, including the ability to dial regular phone lines, but there are fees for these services. That wraps it up for Episode 61 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at www.eiu.edu/ITC. Just click on the Tech Talk for Teachers podcast link. If you have a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom. Keep on learning.